Praise God, it's good to be in his house today. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together to lift your name in worship, to give you all of our love and adoration, my God. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, my God. So good to be in your house today, my Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Oh, Tracy. Sing song number 297, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's sweet, sweet spirit in faith, and I know they feel the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay. When we shall leave this place, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay. With your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy. Hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by.
I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. I thank you for being so present and so tangible in our lives. Thank you for being with us here today. Let us feel that touch of your Spirit, my God. I love and I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, Lynn.
Praise the hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, our King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. Raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, all hope will arise. Death is defeated, our King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, all hope will arise. Death is defeated, our King is alive. Sing a little louder. 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 In the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief, sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody, sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me, I'm gonna sing. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, all hope will arise. Death is defeated, our King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear our praises roar. Up from the ashes, all hope will arise. Death is defeated, our King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah.
Praise God. Sing song number 140. I'll go where you want me to go.
I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountains or land or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountains or land or sea. Say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountains or land or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. Praise you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, praise you, my Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Can we have the choir come up now, please?
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for
my God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Christ is God.
House on Heaven's Avenue. I'm gonna walk right down those streets of gold with the friends I used to know. Gonna wanna sit down, have a little talk with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, see St. Peter, James, and John. Talk with the prophets one by one. I'm gonna move right into my Father's house on Heaven's Avenue. We're going to sing our last song tonight before Paul comes up and brings us the Word of God. Let's sing song number 65, He is My Everything, and if you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now.
He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, so how about you? He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, so how about you? He is my everything, He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, so how about you?
Thank you, my Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of the Lord?
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. It's great to be back in the house of the Lord. Can you hear me all right? I had to move the mic a little bit here. Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. Welcome our online visitors. We're glad to have all you folks today. Anyway, we got a little glitch there. where I should have the mic. My tie is slippery and it keeps sliding down. That's why I put it on my lapel. I can move it over, I guess. Anyway, I want to thank God for a safe trip. It was kind of a trying time. It was a sad time, but I'll tell you, He made it as easy for us as He could. And I was so proud of God's people. And like Lynn said about the testimonies, her testimony about the flowers and the cards and the texts and the phone calls. And it's when you go through a tough time and you know God's right there with you, it makes it a lot easier. And I just want to thank Him that He's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week God. He never leaves us. He's there for the highs and the lows. Anything we have need of, He's there for us. And I love Him for that. One of the many things I love Him for. Thank Him again for this beautiful weather. We're about had heat stroke in Illinois. It was 95 the day we got there. It didn't cool off much while we were there either. So praise God, we're back in Alaska. It's 65, 70 degrees, and I love it. And the work party at our pastor's house yesterday was really awesome. I had quite a bit of studying to do before today, and so I was late getting up there, but it was a joy to see everything that was done, and everybody that could be there, that was there, the young people. It was just a great feeling. I mean, that feeling of love and unity is, you can't beat that. And I know he appreciated it immensely and feels bad because he can't get out there and do some of that work himself, but hey, sometimes you gotta just back off a little bit. You do what you can do. We need to keep each other in our prayers here. We got Ernie's going in for knee surgery here Tuesday, and they won't let him be around anybody for a week before the surgery, so that's why he's not here tonight. But he requested prayer. I know we got some real issues in the church physically. Keep each other in your prayers. Pray for new souls especially. We need new souls this time of the year. There's a lot of people starting to come to Alaska. It's up to us to draw them to church. If there's a hungry soul out there, we don't want to miss it. Amen. I'll tell you, I got to talk to quite a few people in Illinois about God. And it's almost like, I don't know. The people that I talked to, probably close to 15 of them, 20 maybe. None of them ever heard about receiving the Holy Ghost. Like in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. To give you the actual power to live a holy life. They never heard about that. And a lot of them are trying to do what the Bible teaches, but they don't have the power to really complete the job. And it's frustrating. I've tried it without God, and I thought I had God, but I didn't. I didn't have that power of the Holy Ghost in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. And once I got that, then this Bible came alive, and I came alive, and I've never been the same since. And neither will anybody else that ever receives this. One of the questions that I was running into quite a bit down there was, how do you know you're right with God? You know, what makes you think you're in God's perfect will? And what do I have to do to spend eternity with Him? Well, these seem like basic questions to us because we've been taught so good for so many years. But a lot of people do not know the salvation plan, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Baptized in Jesus' name, come out of that water, wash like snow, and empowered to live a holy life. That's an absolute miracle, and a lot of people don't know nothing about it. We're kind of spoiled here. We're there. We've been fed so good for so many years. We really got to be careful we don't get complacent about that, because people need God, especially the way the world's going right now. Yeah, just talking about that, about knowing where you're at with God. How do you know that? And so I started studying that, and I thought, well, you know, the Word of God teaches you everything that could ever happen to you, you and your family, your kids, anything that can happen to you in your life. It's right here in the Word of God. So I just looked up a few scriptures here about God's plans for us, His perfect will, and what we need to do to be ready for these end times, because we're in the end times. Believe it, we are. So let's start out in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. We've only got about three scriptures here to read on that one. God has a plan for His people. It's up to us to give Him the driver's seat. When we get our problems is when we try to take the reins back from Him after He's been driving for a while. It's like when you learn how to drive. As soon as you get to where you think you can drive, you want to take off. But in God, that'll get you in trouble. He's always got to be in the driver's seat. Amen. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This is God's plan for His people. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected the salvation, the eternal life is what He's got planned for us. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So if you're lacking anything in God, it's because you're not seeking Him hard enough. Because it's there. It says right here in His Word, "You find me if you seek me with all your heart." Not just occasionally or when things get tough, but 24/7. When you get up in the morning, think about Him during the daytime. And when you go to bed at night, take your inventory. See how you did. And God's easy to forgive people. He's got mercy and compassion, way more than we've ever even thought. But all we got to do is admit that we've come up a little short, and He's right there for us. Amen? Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. These scriptures here, they tell us the way we need to live our life, the will of God, and the way we need to live our life. Romans, the 12th chapter, we'll start out in verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, that's just the basics there. That's not over and above. "And be ye not conformed to this world." Don't be like this world. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's the key right there. You receive the power to change, but you have to renew your mind. You have to work at that. You have to think on the things that are good, the things that are of God, and not the things of this world that you've been trying to get away from all your life, that get you in trouble, that make you feel guilty, that mess up your whole life. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." We need to be humble at all times, with each other, with everybody we meet. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." This is a family. We need to treat each other with respect at all times. We need to be long-suffering with each other. Because believe me, somebody's long-suffering with me. Probably quite a few people, but for sure there's a few out there. That we all need all the mercy and compassion we can get from each other and from God. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, where prophecy, let us prophesy according to his proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Don't make a big deal out of it if you give somebody a hand on something or help them out in such a way. Just, it should be between you and them, and shouldn't have to worry about them ever coming back with it or anything. Just, I did it out of love, and pay it forward if you can. That's the way we need to interact with each other and total strangers. He that ruleth with diligence, for he showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When somebody gives you a little mercy and then they let you know that they give you something, that's not going to please God very well. Now, I've had people say to me, yeah, well, this here, but, you know, they let me know that they were going out of their way to help me out. And that's not pleasing to God. He don't do that to us. He blesses us. He just blesses us. We just wallow in that love and glory of God. He don't stand there and say, now, you owe me one. Although we do, and we feel that, but he doesn't say nothing to about it. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. Don't be a respecter of persons. Love everybody you come in contact with God's love. God's love is in chapter 13. If you read that, 1 Corinthians 13, if you get a chance to read that, what God's love is all about, read that. We can all learn from that. You'll never, ever have that mastered. That's a supernatural love, and that's one you have to work on for the rest of your life. But you need to gain on it all the time. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. We have this hope. People got to feel that hope from us. When we're around them, they got to feel that. We can't be downcast and just barely making it, and negative attitude and all that. We need to be, God's a positive God, and we're his people. We need to be a positive people. Amen? I mean, there's enough negativity out in that world right now. You don't need us to be that way. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to draw people to this light. And we can do it, but we have to make the effort to do it. But you have to stay full of that Holy Ghost. And that's from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. You have to stay full of that Holy Ghost to be able to live the life that this Bible teaches we have to live, to be able to stay in God's perfect will. Because that's what this lesson here is about. It's about God's perfect will for his people. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's a tough one right there. When things are going sideways, it's hard to be patient. Continue instant in prayer. Prayer is so important, man. You know, and the closer you get to God and the more you pray, and the easier it is to make that contact, to break through that, out of this natural realm into that spiritual realm. If you pray a lot, God's there as soon as you hit your knees, 90% of the time. Once in a while, you have to work at it a little bit, but most of the time, he's there as soon as you hit your knees, if you keep the door open. If you go 2 or 3 days, you got to work at it. When you get that little squeeze to pray, wherever you're at, go for it. I've missed a lot of good opportunities over the years I don't miss them anymore, though. I let my eggs get cold if I have to, but I'm going to get what God's got for me. I can always throw them in the microwave. Amen. Distribute to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Are you hospitable? Sometimes that's not convenient to be hospitable. And when you're hospitable, do people feel that love and compassion towards them, or do you make them feel like they're imposing a little bit? I've been in both sides of that thing there. I'll give you a grilled cheese, but you got about 15 minutes to eat it. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I've been in the presence of people that they couldn't wait to shovel me out the door. And I felt that. It wasn't God's people, though. I can tell you that. It wasn't anybody full of the Holy Ghost. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's what we do as a family. We weep. We rejoice. Everywhere in between with each other. When a brother or sister's having a hard time, we're there in prayer. We're there feeling the same emotions that they have. This is a family, man. I'll tell you what. We are so blessed to have the family we got here. It's just funny. It's not out there. I'm telling you, it's not out there in the world. I actually haven't been outside for over a year. And it was really an eye-opener for me, just how things have changed in a year and a few months. It just, they don't know. They don't know what we know. Not everybody, but there's a majority of people do not know what this Bible teaches and what's going on in the world. Yet that Jesus is coming back to take his people home. They're not ready. They don't have a clue. They're still drinking and partying, and you know, their grandkids are still sitting in the same tavern that they were in 50 years ago, doing the same thing that their grandparents did. They just haven't broke the chain. But every once in a while, you'll get one that feels that tug in their heart that, hey, I want to change. This is not getting it. There's got to be more to life than this. And they'll start looking around. And when they do, God will be right there to fill them up. Well, he'll send somebody to enlighten them. I was talking to one guy for 5 years now that I saw him the other day. And there was about five of them having coffee. I'm sitting there talking. He asked me a couple of questions, which opened the door for me to say a lot of other things. And he's always trying to find some way that nobody's ever seen in this Word of God. The Bible teaches this simple. The Word of God is simple. Even a wayfaring man can understand enough for salvation. This guy's always looking for the missing link. I haven't given up on it, but I mean, it gets a little discouraging. And bing, his brother pops up. His brother was 10 times more interested in the truth than he was. So I'm going to be communicating with his brother, too. I'm not going to give up on him, but I'm definitely going to lay this out for his brother, because I can tell you right now, his brother is hungry. I mean, he overrode. He doesn't even know me, and he overrode his brother asking me questions. So they're out there. We just got to be aware. And when they're opening there, step into this. God will give you the words. Verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Boy, that's a Bible study in itself, that one verse. There's a lot to that thing. Because sometimes we get a little bit too smart for our own good, and it gets us in trouble. And then we get a little high-minded, and we won't talk to somebody that's not driving a Cadillac or doesn't have a pocket full of 50s. Everybody's got a soul. Everybody needs to be treated with respect, and we need to love everybody the way God loves us. Amen. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, I got a flashback of this stuff. I mean, honesty is not just stealing. Honesty can be in a conversation. It can be in a lot of different ways. People need to know that you're a person of your words, that you're honest. When you tell them something, they should be able to put that in the bank. And believe me, in this day and age, that's a treasure, because it's all right to lie anymore. It's all right to steal. It's all right to do a lot of things. People, you know what amazes me? How they can forgive that kind of stuff real easy, but they'll get on somebody that's really trying to live for God if they stumble and fall just a little bit. They get on them in a heartbeat. It just shows you that the world takes care of its own, but God's people need to be there for each other too. Amen. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It's possible. It's possible for God's people to live peaceably with all men. If a situation comes up, just leave. When the peace leaves, you leave. You don't have to get your point across. You don't have to get what you have to say. You don't have to beat it into their head, hey, this is how it is. Bye. I'll talk to you later. Have a nice day. That's all you got to say. You don't have to leave them with anything other than that. And the door's still open that way. You get into a heated argument with them, you might shut the door and never be able to talk to them again. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God takes care of stuff. He's got our back at all times. All we've got to do is obey his word, and he takes care of any wrongdoings that might happen to us. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now that sounds pretty harsh, but I tell you, it's not meant quite the way it was. You might take that. If there's any way of helping somebody, be nice to them. Give them something to drink. Give them something to eat. Give them a coat or give them a $5 bill to get some gas. Whatever it takes. But in the end, if they won't ever listen to God or turn around, that's God's work. He'll take care of that other part. It says right here in verse 21, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Take a negative situation and make a positive out of it. That's what we do. Amen? Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's start out in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. That's what gets us in trouble. God's people got a heavenly vision they got to follow, and we need it. You have to make an effort to watch that and seek after that, because the world's right here. You can see it. You can't see heaven. You can't see God. You can sure feel him, though. Amen. I love feeling God. In fact, it's very addicting. I love living for God. When I get talking about this stuff, I just want to go pray somewhere. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We obey this word. We get to come back. When he judges this world, we'll be there with him. This is real stuff. This was... Everything that was ever written in here has come true, except for this last little bit. And we're going to be part of that. Amen? We're going to be part of that. When he comes back, we're going to be there. But here's what we have to do. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We don't want the wrath of God on us. Nobody does. They just don't know he's that real. They don't think that this Bible means everything it says, right down to the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T. God meant every word that's in here. Verse 7, in which you also walked sometimes when we lived in them. But now you have put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another or anybody else. This lying is a big deal, like I just said before. We can't be doing that. I mean, not even little white lies, because there's no such thing as a little white lie. Seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect, that's us, the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness. These are things here. There's some of this stuff here is like finding a dinosaur track anymore. It's unreal. Mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do. If we want to be forgiven and we want mercy, we have to give it. We have to. And every one of us needs all the mercy we can get. Amen. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. If we got the love of God in us, it glues all these things together. We won't fail. We can't fail with that love of God. And it lasts for eternity, too. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. We want this unity. We've got to keep this unity. We've got to fight for this unity. Because Satan's right there to put these little snags in between us constantly. It's never going away. So what's going to change? We have to change. We have to change how we deal with situations, how we deal with each other, how we deal with our coworkers, whoever we have contact with. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and it innocently said something, wham, right back at me. I mean, they just like a Rottweiler, man. Sorry, Kathy. But this defensive stuff, this nobody can say nothing to you without right back with it, justifying or having an attitude about it. That can't be. God wasn't like that. Jesus never acted like that. And you know what? If you give somebody the benefit of the doubt, most of the time you won't even have them feelings. It's when you don't give anybody the benefit of doubt and you think negative all the time. That's when you have all these problems. Amen? Yeah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Everybody wants the wisdom of God. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That peace and joy that God gives you, he gives all of us that peace and joy with the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have it, it's not his fault. We have to work at it to keep it sometimes, but it's there for the taking. We just have to go for it and not let anybody take the peace and joy away from you, because it'll happen. You have to let them. Nobody can take it away from you. You have to let somebody do that to you. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God and the Father by him. And let's jump down here to verse 23. Here's what I liked yesterday. You know, it was the first nice day of summer. And I know that that draw to go out there and enjoy the sunlight, a cruise, and just do everything you can do besides go up to Pastor Buck's house and work. Had to be there. And they made a decision to go to Pastor Buck's. Now, you think that wasn't happy, pleasing to God? It was definitely pleasing to God. And thank you once again for doing that for him. Because that shows how much you love somebody when you go out of your way, when there's things you want to do personally and you don't do them to help a brother out. It makes me happy to see that. I mean, see us as a body doing what the Word of God teaches we're supposed to do. Not with an attitude, you know, going up. I mean, I went up there, everybody's happy, smiling. Little kids running around, picking up a little branch here and there. It was cool, man. I was just, wished I could have been up there all afternoon. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Do the very best you can do on a job. Don't do it for anybody but God. And you'll never lose. And actually, men will be very happy to have you on board because they'll know, hey, there's a guy I can trust. You'll get the job done. And you'll always have a job, too. Knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord of Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respecter of persons with God. You don't have to worry about it. You do what's right by God, and he just takes care of everything else. Amen? And it just works out, man. Your life works out. I remember running the gauntlet before I started living for God. Nothing worked out. I had to work 10 times harder to keep a job. Everybody was cruising. I'm over there sweating like a dog, and they lay me off and keep them when things get a little slow. It was disheartening. Let's go to the Ephesians, the first chapter. Yeah. These scriptures here about what God's done for his people. He's predestinated his people. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us abundantly with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us. Now just think about that. The God of creation has chosen us personally, each and every one of us. Anybody that will live and obey this word, God has chosen you before the foundations of the earth. Isn't that incredible? I mean, think about that. That's unreal, man. That the God of glory would give me 5 seconds of his time blows me away. But it does humble you up too. Verse 4, accordingly as he chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted and the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Aren't you glad God forgave all your sins? Man, that's heavy. That's heavy when you got all that stuff hanging on you and you can't get rid of it. You don't go to a man, you go to God. God's the one who takes that stuff away. Verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Like I was telling you, there's millions of people that don't know what I'm reading right here. They don't understand this, but we do. We're born again of the Spirit, and the Spirit, this was written by the Spirit. And we got understanding of these things. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. See right there, it tells you it's a mystery. It's a mystery to who? Not to us. We know what's going on. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one us all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even unto him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. He predestinated us to work for him, to win souls for him, to bring glory to him in this life. Verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom he has trusted after, that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what happens. You believe this word, you reach out to God with everything you got, and he puts that seal on you, that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? Yeah, when you get that, you know what's going on then. You understand why you were born and where you're going. It's not a fairy tale anymore then. It's the real deal then. Jesus is standing right there around that corner waiting for you with his arms wide open. And say, where you been, child? Man. So many things you have to go through before God can get your attention, man. But praise God, he's long-suffering towards us, right? Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, this Holy Ghost, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know how exciting that had to be for Paul to hear of people that was actually, they preached to, they received the Holy Ghost, and they were actually living it, and he wasn't there, and he hears just how much love they had for each other, and they were actually living this stuff. It was probably overwhelming for him. It's just like us. If we see a brother or sister having a hard time, and they're back where they need to be, we're happy. I mean, I'm overjoyed when I see that smile on somebody's face when I see they had a hard time. Amen? I mean, I want everybody here doing good. I want them to be happy. That's my prayer. Make us all full of peace and joy, Lord, and give us that joy unspeakable. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's no end to that, but we have it. We have that now, but we can have more of it. We got to study this word fast, which reminds me, this is our fast week coming up. I should have brought that out earlier. So. It doesn't have to be a particular day, but this could be our fast week. That's for verse 18 again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is this hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceedingly great greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. God wants us to know what's going on. He gives us the Spirit and his word to guide us and lead us so we don't get ourselves in too much trouble and we're going to get home and spend eternity with him. This is nothing. 100 years in this life is a big deal if you're in the natural. It's nothing compared to spiritual. We're not here for this life. We're here for the next one. It's what we do in this life determines where we spend eternity, because everybody that was ever born is going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. That's period. There's no in-betweens. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereby they speak against you as evildoers. They may be your good works, which they shall behold, and glorify God in the day of visitation. Don't let anybody find fault with you out in that world. Or in your house. Even if it starts in your home, and then it goes out from there. You can't. My dad used to talk about people being street angels and house devils because of somebody that was in their household. That was something else at home, and then you go out in the street and just everybody thought he was the best person in the world. But he was mean to his family. And we don't want to be that. He starts at home. You be what the Bible teaches you to be at home, and then you go out in the world and you project that to everybody you meet. That's how you're going to win souls. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be of the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. If you go through this stuff the right way, it's not the way the world goes through stuff. If you suffer yourself to be defrauded or don't have an answer back when somebody's got something to say to you, I mean an aggressive answer, they take note of that. And that does bring glory to God, that you can control yourself like that. And they start, sooner or later, they start wondering, hey, what's going on with this person? As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a service of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That means it's just do everything as unto God, and he'll take care of the rest of it. It might not be right, but it'll still be taken care of by him. And it'll be a good report for you with these people that are shortchanging you, whatever. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience sake God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, this is the word of God. This is not anything different here. This is what God says. Suffer yourself to be defrauded sometimes. For even hereunto we call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, all the things that happened to him, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live in the righteousness of whose stripes you were healed. For we are sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, which is Jesus. We're back to him. Let's go to verse 6, or 1 Peter 3. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, be of one mind, have compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you have thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and the lips shall they speak no guile. Let him ensue evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears upon their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is it that would harm you if you be followers of him which is good? But if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither shall you be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience there, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse you of conversation. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to live, folks. That's how we have to live, to have that eternal. We've got one last scripture here in Psalms. Psalms, the first chapter, first one. You can get Sunday school coming this way if you need to. This is God's promises to his people if they'll obey his word. Psalms, the first chapter, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, at the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. God's people delight in the law, in this word of God. This is just like he's talking to you, and they're into it day and night. And here's what's going to happen. If you're obeying this word and doing your very best to please God, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, the river of waters, that bring forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we look at this whole crowd right here today, God has definitely prospered every one of us. Amen. Praise God. That was the last scripture for tonight. Thanks for your patience, your attention. Getting ready for all the calls. So if you got anything on your mind that you need to get right between you and God, this is the place to come. If you need the Holy Ghost, you're seeking the Holy Ghost, come to this altar. That's what it's for. Got special prayers that you need? You need prayer? Whatever. Up here is where you come at. We love you. Have a good week. Turn it off a little early.
Praise God. This altar's open for you. If you need that Holy Ghost, if you need God's Spirit living inside of you, feel that power, that joy, that peace that comes with it, come to this altar tonight. He's here for you. If you've already received the Holy Ghost, come and get to where you're full and overflowing, where you're spreading that light in this dark world. Lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. For Jesus is my glory, his love he imparts. And from that day he touched me and I made my first start. His joy is living deep within my heart. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. For Jesus is my glory, his love he imparts. And from that day he touched me and I made my first start. His joy is living deep within my heart. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. For Jesus is my glory, his love he imparts. And from that day he touched me and I made my first start. His joy is living deep within my heart. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. For Jesus is my glory, his love he imparts. And from that day he touched me and I made my first start. His joy is living deep within my heart. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. For Jesus is my glory, his love he imparts. And from that day he touched me and I made my first start. His joy is living deep within my heart. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. He's the joy of my salvation, yes he is. He's the joy of my salvation, yes he is. Well, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is. Well, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is. He's the joy of my salvation, yes, he is.